Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you have your Bible, stand with your feet, hold your Bible up, say this with me. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I'll do. Now I'm going to throw in my father-in-law's version. Today, I will hear his word. I'll receive his word. I'll obey his word because I love his word. And hey, neighbor, you look pretty good today. You can have a seat in the presence of the Lord. I'm excited to be with you this morning. I feel like this is something that the Lord has been stirring on my heart, has been implanting. I'm going to sit. I'm going to stand. I'm going to preach. That means I'm going to preach and teach because I'm going to teach till I get real excited, and then I'm going to get up. So I might be up more than I'm actually seated. But anyway, let's pray, and then we're going to get into the Word. Father, we come before you this morning with grateful hearts, and as you heard your people say, they're open to receive your word. I pray that the word would be engrafted and implanted inside of their hearts. And may it not just stay there, but I pray that it would grow and it would increase and it would be watered so that they could have a fruitful harvest, a hundredfold harvest. I pray over every ground that is fallow that it would be stirred up this morning. Any ground that is hard, any ground that hasn't grown fruit in a while, God, I pray that it would shift today and it would become a fruitful ground. Your word is always fertile, but it's our hearts that choose the results. And so I pray for a church this morning that says, I want to have a fruitful harvest. I want to grow. So, Lord, we welcome your presence. Holy Spirit, come and rule and reign. I pray that every word that comes out of my mouth would bring you glory and honor, and it would not be wasted. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk to you about the subject of remaining. I actually had a different title, but Pastor Spencer said, you cannot use that. Because I wanted today to be called Fruity Friendship. And he said, you can't use a title called Fruity. And so I said, okay. He said, what about remain? I said, yes, sir. So if you're wondering, like, what's that woman doing teaching? I'm not usurping authority over you. You're here under your own free will. If you choose to listen, that's, again, your choice. So today we're talking about remaining. You can turn in your Bibles to John 15. We're going to start in verse 1. It says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. We're going to stop right there because today we're talking about fruitful friendship or fruitless and friendless. And true right there where it says, I am the true vine, it means this, truthful. So he's saying, I am the truthful vine and my Father is the vine dresser. A vine dresser is also a farmer. And it says this, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, I love this definition of fruit in the Greek. It means this, plucked, literally or figuratively. Now, I want you to think about that because he's talking to you. This is not a passage of scripture designated for the fivefold ministers. This is a passage of scripture to every disciple and every believer. So he's saying, every tree that's in me, if it's connected to the vine, it bears fruit. That is literally or figuratively plucked. So he also says this, if it doesn't bear fruit, he takes it away. So let's get this. Fruit means plucked, literally or figuratively, or no fruit means removal. I want you to think about that because I'm putting it in your ball court. I'm saying to you, check yourself this morning. This is a morning for us to gauge ourselves and go, am I fruitful? Meaning, can someone come up to me and pluck from me? You may say, that sounds weird. I'm going to get into more about that in a minute. But also, if you don't have fruit, he removes you. This is not me speaking. This is Jesus. You may say, I'm in the church. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about the kingdom. If you don't bear fruit, you will be cut off. Just like the virgins in the end times, there was 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. Guess what? They were all virgins, meaning they were all pure, but 5 had oil and made it in and 5 did not. So being in the church does not equal making it to Jesus. What am I doing right now? Anybody that's hiding into the church, I'm exposing you. Welcome. Oh, it's been a while since I've preached, so y'all bear with me. Okay, I'm excited. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Okay, listen to this. Every branch that bears fruit gets pruned. Prune in Greek means to cleanse. Okay, so if you're bearing fruit, that's a good thing, but you're also going to be pruned. So listen to this. You're pruned because you're doing right, because you're fruitful. So here's what I would say. The vine dresser is looking at you, and he's saying, when you bear fruit and he starts pruning you, he's saying, hey, good job, I see you. You're bearing fruit. So we see pruning, when we hear that word, we automatically feel like we're being disciplined. But the vine dresser doesn't look at it like that. He looks at it and he says, so listen to me, because when you go into pruning season, and if you don't, then you really need to check yourself if you are not being pruned at all, and it's been a few months. Because you are continually needing to be pruned and to be cleansed. Because you grow, you bear fruit, then you need to get pruned again. So this isn't a temporary word. This is an eternal word. Why? Because no one is constantly, perfectly, always abiding. And so we need a constant reminder. So the vine dresser looks. He says, hey, you're fruity. You need to be pruned. So pruning is a reward, not a discipline. You get that? I want you to get that in your spirit. Fruit, being fruitful means pruning, but pruning is rewarding. It's not a discipline. When God starts trying to cut something out of you, cleanse something off of you, he's not saying, hey, you're doing bad. Hey, you're in sin. He said, now, if you get cut off, then that's the problem. But we're not talking about being cut off. We're talking about pruning. If you get pruned, if you get cleansed, then you can go, okay, I'm walking with God. I'm walking with the Holy Spirit. I have been fruitful. So now he wants me to bear more fruit, and I'm going to read that to you, because he says, every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Why does he prune it? That it may bear more fruit. More here in Greek means this, in quantity and quality. So you get pruned so that you'll bear more fruit in quantity and quality. So what does that look like? I want you to get this picture with me of apples, okay? Think about a beautiful apple. It looks so good. You pluck it off that tree. You take a bite. You're like, oh, that's pretty sweet. But then you walk along and you see another apple tree. You pluck you another beautiful red apple off the tree. And you take a bite and you're like, this one is sweeter. It's juicier. It's more vibrant. That's what pruning looks like. Because that is the goal, is that you would go from great fruit to greater fruit. But he doesn't just say in quality, but he also says in quantity, which means when he prunes you, it means that he wants you to have more fruit. So let's say you're a fruitful tree of 10. He wants you to become even more fruitful and have 20, 30, 40, whatever it may be. Are you with me? So how does he prune? He tells us this in John 15:3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now, I'm going to give you a couple definitions here. The first definition of word is the word logos. And that is the written word of God. Then he also says the second part where he uses word is because he says you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. I'm sorry. I'm ahead of myself. So the first one is logos. So that is the written word of God. You were already clean. How? By the written word of God. So you may ask yourself, why do I keep reading my Bible if I'm not getting anything out of it? Why do I keep reading my Bible when I'm going through a dry season? Because even if you're not getting anything out of it, listen to me, you are getting clean. So you may say, this feels absolutely purposeful. Why do I keep turning on this Bible app? Why do I keep reading Exodus? Why am I in Leviticus? What am I supposed to get out of sacrificing these animals? Why am I in? And you may be asking yourself, what's the purpose? Because as you are reading, you are getting clean. But if you're not reading, you're not going to be clean. And so you may say, well, you go through your day and you're like, why did this day go so bad? Why did it not go the way that I wanted it to go? Did you take time in the Word? Did you take time to get yourself clean? Because I guarantee you, if you were going somewhere, most of you would not go without taking a shower. Right? We're like, that's absurd. I would not go without a shower. So it's absurd, see, that we live more in the natural than we do in the spiritual, that we're like, I would not go anywhere without being clean and putting on deodorant and getting all my ducks in a row because I don't want people to think I got bad BO. But over here, I'll go without the Word and I'll be dirty and I'll be stinky and I'll be having a bad attitude and I'll be spouting off at somebody and I'll be flipping on the bird when they pull out on me and I'll be yelling at my children. You see what I'm saying? But we can recognize with the shower because we see this is natural. This is a must. No, this is a natural. This is a must because you are clean by the Word of God. So keep reading. Why? Because it cleanses you. It purges you. But it's not wasted. Reading the Word is never wasted because, number one, you may never know when you're going to get a rhema out of it. You know what a rhema is? A rhema is a revelatory word. It's the Greek word. So word has two definitions. It's two different words. It's logos and it's rhema. But you keep reading the Word even when you don't get rhema. See, some real spiritual people, they feel like, if I don't get a rhema, why am I reading? Why do I keep, if I'm not getting this super spiritual revelation? Because it's cleansing and it's purging you. So we're talking about a little bit about friendship this morning, right? Fruitful friendship. What does this have to do with friendship? Because this is the gateway in. So what I'm saying is being connected to the vine, being clean is the gateway into friendship with God. Why? Because sin separates man from God. So when I'm in sin, I don't have closeness with God. When I sin, I need cleansing by confession, repentance, and His Word. So let's think about it like this, because sin is to miss the mark. Sin is to do wrong against God, right? So think about your natural friendships. Here we go with natural again. If you do someone wrong, that's your friend, and you don't apologize, what kind of friendship are you going to have? What? Let's say you repent, but you don't mean it. You're going to have a bad friendship. Well, it's the same way with the Lord. If we want to have closeness with God, then we have to be in this continual process of being clean, because what pleases God is purity and being clean. Because who can walk together unless they be agreed? If you're not walking in agreement with God, you can't walk with Him. Because eventually you're going to just keep on your own pathway. If we want to walk with God, we have to do what's in agreement with God and with His Word. The Bible says this in Psalms. He said, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can attend His holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol." So if we want to walk with God, we need purity and we need cleansing, but we also need abiding. And we stay abiding because we stay in the Word. And we stay in the Word, and then we stay clean, and then we get closeness with God, and then we bear more fruit, and then He prunes us, and then we bear more fruit. It's a process. Let's look at verse 4. He says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." Abide in Greek here means stay. So let's read it according to that. Stay in me. It also means this: to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. Continue, dwell, endure, be present, tarry. I'm going to read you the opposite of stay. Leave, move, quit, go. So this is what Jesus is ultimately saying. Don't leave me. Okay, now all you once saved, always saved people are going, you can't do that. No, no one can pluck you out of his hand, but you can leave his. Because he will not force you to stay. And that's why he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. But we have the choice if we abide in Christ or we get out of Christ. Just like we have the choice of staying in the Spirit or getting out of the Spirit. Example of that, when you're thinking, when you're having fun, when you're working, when you're talking, when you're hanging out with your friends, when you're texting, when you're whatever you're doing, are you in Christ? Are you staying in Christ? Think about everyday life. I'm not talking about in church because you can, hey, hallelujah, God bless you, I love you, let's praise the Lord. I'm talking about when you're in your day-to-day life, when you're sitting in your living room, when you're talking to the person that knows you the best, are you abiding? Are you staying in Jesus? Meaning, you know what I could say is I could say this, are you staying in the Word? Because Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, in your day-to-day life, are you abiding? Are you staying in the Word? Meaning, what thoughts are coming through your mind? Are they the Word? What comes out of your mouth, is it the Word? I'm not saying you have to walk around quoting the Bible, but I'm saying, is what you're saying contradicting it? Is your attitude contradicting the Word? Is your help or not help, is it contradicting? Are you a servant to all or just a servant to be seen? Are you with me? Next verse. He says, well, let's go back to that. You cannot bear fruit of yourself. I want to give you an example of this. It's impossible, he said, for you to bear fruit by yourself. But a lot of times, because of our American mentality, we have a lot of do-it-yourself. I can prove that just by YouTube. It's DIY City, right? Or all the shows, it's DIY. And we try to DIY our Christianity. But he says, no, 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 brothers. No, 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 sisters. It's impossible for you to bear fruit by yourself. I want to give you an example of this because he's talking about the vine. So now I want you to imagine that you're this branch and you're connected, but all of a sudden now you're laying on the ground and you're not connected. You're still a branch. What's going to happen to that branch? It's going to shrivel up and die. And you know what those are good for? They're good to be cast into the fire. And so you cannot, which to me, see, for me, that gives me a lot of relief because it says to me, all right, Madison DeVries, you don't have to do this by yourself. You can't gung up your bootstraps and just, you, no. So to me, that relieves pressure, but it doesn't take the mandate off. See, we're usually in one or two corners where we're going to do it ourselves or, oh, praise God, I'm under grace. No, but you're empowered to be able to bear fruit. Why? Because you are abiding. Abide in Christ. So ask yourself this question. Are you fruitless? So maybe you may say, well, how do I know if I'm fruitless? What fruit do I look for in my life? Let's go to Galatians 5:22. Oh, that's a pretty graphic. I hadn't turned around the whole time. Can you put that scripture up for me, Shelley? Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. If you'll leave that up, I'd like people to be able to see that. So I want you to ask yourself, do I have these? Am I bearing these? Yes, no, maybe some. So here's what I would say to all the charismatic people. Unless we're flowing in the fruit of the Spirit, let's not worry about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not saying don't educate yourself. I'm not saying don't ask for them. I'm saying let's have fruit because without fruit, the gifts will be misused. We want to have fruit because fruit is integrity. And as we are fruitful in the Holy Spirit, then we are more likely to be able to handle the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit the right way. And so I want you to think about these things. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Why read those again? Because I want you to have fruit. And you need to check yourself as you hear those things and say, do I have fruit? If you want the fruit, here's what you do. You read the word so you're clean. You abide and you stay in Jesus. You walk in the Spirit. So how's your fruit? Because where your fruit is reveals where your abiding is. Where your fruit is, and I'm talking to everyone in this room, where your fruit is reveals how well you are at abiding. Where these things are also shows the depth of your friendship with the Lord. Because this, one of the major parts about the scripture that he's talking about is friendship. And so where your fruit is will also show you how well you are in fellowship with him, real fellowship. Verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I'm not going to go into that again because it's the same definition. But he said, if you're abiding in me, you will have much fruit. You'll have great fruit. So now let's flip it again. Do I have much fruit? Do I have great fruit? Okay, let's go to verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. I want to give you the definition of withered because I don't want to be a withered person. It means to shrivel, to dry up, wither away, aka to become nothing. So ask yourself, are there areas in my life that are shriveled up? Is there areas in my Christianity where I'm dry? How about your worship? Are you shriveled up in worship? Are you dry up in worship? How about your day-to-day living? How about your speaking? Because that will reveal, maybe you've got some withering in some areas. Because if your worship's dry, then you got some withering going on. And the way, what do we do to take care of the withering? We stay abiding. And as we abide in the word, then it will become vibrant and it will become alive again. This is not a hopeless message. This is an encouraging, let's make sure we're abiding message. Because I don't want you to be withered in any way. Because I don't want you to get cast out and burned. We have to take responsibility for our Christianity. This is not just, I'm sorry, if you thought this was just come to church place, it's not. This is, if you're in the church, you're supposed to be the church, and you're supposed to be living the word church, okay? So I just want to release any mentality maybe that you might have came in with so you're not confused. Okay, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. Okay, now this is interesting because here the word is actually rhema. And it means this, command, utterance, individually or specifically. Now let's look at that in the context. If you abide in me and my command, my utterance, individually or specifically abides in you, then you can ask. And you'll get it. So what does that mean? That means in order for me to have a rhema, that means a revelatory word from God. I'm giving you real definitions from the Greek. Then I have to be hearing from God. Now, if you didn't know this, you can hear from God yourself. Okay? And I'm going to break it down even more. It is his absolute perfect will for you to be hearing from him yourself. Just like today when Pastor Jeff was singing and there were no words on the screen, some people may have been going, what am I supposed to sing right now? God doesn't always want to listen to me. He doesn't always want to hear you sing words that someone else wrote. Sometimes, and most of the time, he wants to hear your song. Your song. And you may say, I don't have a song. I don't have a good voice. Neither do I. You think it stops me? I sound terrible. I don't care. You know why? I've got confidence in my worship because it ain't about me. It's not about my voice. It's not about any. It's about Him. And so you may be going, well, I don't know what to say. Say who He is. That is true worship because the Father is seeking such to worship Him who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I want you to become people who worship with real worship, not fake worship. Some people, they worship exuberantly, but they don't even know what they're saying. Some people sing lies, like all half the songs that are on the Christian radio that are so self-centered. Oops. Worship isn't about you. It's about Him. And you know what the problem is that it keeps us depressed because when worship is about us, it's focusing on us. But when we have real worship that lays down our lives before the King and says, man, you can provide. You are the provider. You are the breakthrough. Then all of a sudden, whatever had us down, it begins to lift up because I'm lifting up my eyes to the hills from where my help comes from. And so stop worshiping yourself and your emotions and worship the King based off who He is, because in the King's realm there is no lack. In the King's realm we don't have to worry about what's happening at the grocery store. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen in the government. Why? Because I live in the King's domain. I just told my mom that yesterday. She said I can't believe these prices at Walmart. And I said, well, Mother, I'm going to give you something to rejoice about. Y'all think I'm just like this right here. I literally text this to my mom. I said, Mother, we live in the King's domain. Everything we have need of will be taken care of. It doesn't matter what happens at the supermarket. And nobody even uses supermarket anymore. I guess I was just really feeling like I was born in 1989. Okay. Verse 8. The 80s and the 90s were a great time. No seat belts. Okay, verse 8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So I want to point this out to you. Fruit brings the Father honor and glory. Why bear fruit? Well, one, He told you to. But two, I don't know about you, but more than anything, I want to bring Him glory and honor. I don't want my life to reflect me. I want it to reflect Him. And if He says that the way to do that is by bearing much fruit, then I want to bear much fruit. And I want to do whatever He says is necessary in order for me to accomplish that. And how I accomplish that is by abiding in Him, and it's by reading His word and His word cleansing me, and then I get pruned. And so in order to bring Him glory, sometimes I've got to go through some pruning. And we need to be willing, but sometimes when we get out of a really hard season, we're like, oh, thank God that pruning's over. And we're like, oh, Lord, please don't let it come back. You know, have you ever been in one of those broken seasons where you know God's doing the brokenness and you're like, okay, you're weeping and mourning all the time. And then all of a sudden you're out of it and you're like, God, please don't make me go back in the brokenness. Okay, well, you have to. I'm sorry. Pruning is part of being His disciple. Because here's the thing. Fruit is proof. I am His disciple. Fruit is proof. I am His disciple. I'm going to give you an example of this because sometimes we get deceived, especially if we have more of a compassionate nature. We get deceived by people because they come up to us and they say all the right things and they got all the right looks and they got all the right moves. Well, I'm going to give you a test, and it's not called judging them. It's called watching their fruit. Because Jesus Himself said this. He said, you will know a tree by the fruit it bears. So I don't have to judge them. I can watch their fruit. And if their fruit doesn't match up with the Bible, then they're not who they say they are. Now I'm going to also put something on you. If you are a Christian tree, then you should have Christian fruit. That means, Jesus said, you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. So I'm a Christian tree. So on this Christian tree should be Christian fruit. That means everything that I read to you from Galatians 5:22, you should be able to go up to me. I should be able to come up to you and find this fruit if you are who you say you are. See, it's easy sometimes to sit in church and go, oh, yeah, I'm good. I went to church. I gave my tithe. I love Jesus. But can I come up to you when I need some joy and get a peace? See, don't think naturally. You got to think spiritually. Because Jesus said it, not me. You'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. So if I come up to you, I should be able to pluck some peace. I should be able to come up to you, not at church, but on your job and find some long-suffering. Oh, I'm in need today of that long-suffering, John. Can you give me a peace? Right? We should be able to come up to that. Now this is this. I should be able to come up and find faithfulness. Oh, but that's lacking in the workforce, isn't it, Pastor Jeff? People don't want to show up. People don't want to work. Guess what? It's affected the church house because people have excuses. It's like the puppet song my mom used to do all the time. I need to keep up with the time. My mom's a ventriloquist. And she taught me how to do it, too. And for a while, I had a dummy named Jethro. And I'm not being mean. They're just called dummies. And it's because they don't have real brains, so don't feel sorry for them. And his name was Jethro, and he had a red turtleneck. And so when Spencer and I first got married, I put him in the backseat of our car and buckled him in, and I would tell people, oh, this is Spencer's son. Oh, I don't even know where I was going. The ventriloquist dummy will kind of take you off course there. Oh, okay. I really don't know where I was. Okay, a Christian tree has Christian fruit, yes. Faithfulness, yes. But I still don't know where I was. Why did I start talking about my mom and a dummy? Yes, the puppet song. Thank you, Pastor Crystal. That's why you're here. But she had this puppet song she used to do all the time, and it was, excuses, excuses, you'll hear them every day. Now the devil, he'll supply them if the church will stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. Now, the sermon, they're too long, or the preacher, he's too loud. Okay, I'm not going to go into all of it, because as you can tell, I can't sing, but I can in my ventriloquist voice, so there you have it. Okay, moving right along here. So, as a Christian tree, you should have Christian fruit. So, what I want you to do is I want you to go through Galatians 5:22. I want you to memorize it. I want you to meditate on it, and I want you to think, am I bearing this fruit? And if I'm not, then my abiding is lacking. A little bit of sugar helps the medicine go down. But really take an evaluation. I have to evaluate myself. Don't deceive yourself. Make sure you're constantly going, is it me? Am I bearing fruit? Am I growing? Or have I grown since last year? Has it been 5 years since I've grown? Has it been a few months? Am I stagnant? How is this fruit? Because if you go through that list and you go, oh, yes, Lord, help me. Okay, I'm not doing too shabby right there. Thank you. Oh, again, thank you, Lord, help me. Go through the list, and if you can't be truthful to yourself, if you're married, ask your spouse, hey, how's my long-suffering? Girl, you did not just ask me that. Right? Or if you've got a close friend or a close family member, your family members will tell you how you're doing on the fruit scale. All right, let's move on. Okay, verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I'm going to give you some definitions. He says, continue in my love. That means stay in my love. And so how we can ask ourselves, how, Jesus, I want to. I do that, right? When I'm reading the word, I'm like, yes, I want to. How do I do it? Tell me, Lord. I want to do this for you. He says this in verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Now, I'm going to give you some definitions. I'm the definition queen. I'm sorry if you don't like them. Keep here means this. It means reserve, observe, watch, and hold fast. Now, what am I holding fast to? What am I observing? What am I watching? His commandments. Now, what do his commandments mean? I love this. This is so good. Authoritative prescription. precept. So now I'm going to break it down a little bit. So he wants us to hold fast, to observe, to watch his authoritative prescription. That's how we abide in his love. See, we don't understand that sometimes because we're like, how does authoritative prescription and love go together? Because it's like if you're in the 70s, like free love is the rage. If you're now, it's like love everything, accept everyone, coexist. No. He says, if you want to abide in my love, keep my authoritative prescription. So here's an example. Let's say you're sick. You got an infection. You go to the doctor, and he prescribes you something called antibiotics, right? So if we want to get rid of the infection, we go and we get our prescription fulfilled. We take it home. But here's the kicker. If we just get the antibiotics and we put our prescription on the shelf and we don't take it, we're not going to get rid of our infection. But we got the antibiotics. They're at home. They're in my house. I got them. You still got the infection. Or maybe you're the other one. You get the antibiotics. You bring them home. You're taking them just like the doctor told you to, exactly to the T, every 4 hours with food on your stomach so that you don't get sick. But if you have a lovely mother like I do, who is a very sweet and funny woman, she wakes up at 3 a.m. when I'm in pain and tells me it's time for my antibiotics. And, no, actually not antibiotics, it was Loratab, sorry, because I just had my wisdom teeth taken out. And on Loratabs, you must have food. But she wakes up at 3 a.m. and I'm in pain, and she knows I need some Loratabs, and she's just too tired. So she gives me the Loratabs, and I take them on an empty stomach after just having my wisdom tooth taken out. You know what happened to me? I went to the bathroom, and I was sick. Why? Because we didn't follow the authoritative prescription of the doctor. We had the medication, but we didn't take them according to his directions. And if you don't listen to the instructions, then you can either not get well or you can actually get sick. So what am I saying? I'm saying follow the authoritative prescription. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying if you want to abide in my love, if you want the results that you're asking me for, then you have to do the authoritative prescription. Because if we get antibiotics and we don't follow the authoritative prescription that the doctor gave us, we will not get well. Are you with me? So it's the difference between life and death, health and sickness. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, you want to abide in my love? Then follow my authoritative prescription, which in this case, he's talking about abiding. But let me tell you someone else who did exactly what the Father said. His name was Jesus. And it's funny that when it comes to something Jesus did, a lot of times we give ourselves a pass because it was Jesus. But if Jesus obeyed the Father's instruction to the T, how could we think that we could do something different and see it be successful? If we want success in the kingdom, if we want health, if we want life, if we want to abide in his love, then we must follow his commandments because then we get to abide in his love. And who doesn't want to do that? Are y'all with me? Verse 11. These things have I spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Joy means this. Cheerfulness that is calm delight, greatly exceeding joy. And here's what he wants for that joy. He wants it to stay in you. Why? So that it can be full, which is this, to make replete, that is literally to cram a net, to furnish, finish a task, complete, fulfill. So he's saying, I want you to abide in me. I want you to keep that commandment. Why? So that your joy can be full. So that you can have a net. Think about a fishing net. It's just crammed full. That's the kind of joy he wants you to have. And if you say, you know what? My joy is lacking a little bit. I have a little bit of a depletion. Then again, check your abiding. Because he says, if you will abide in me, your joy will be full. And that's my plan for you. My my plan, my purpose. Listen to me, anybody that struggles with depression or anxiety or insecurity, all of those things, if you will abide in Him, He wants your joy to not just be in there. He wants it to be overflowing. He wants it to be crammed full. The world is telling us, oh, you know, they show you those commercials about depression and the medicines that they supply for them, and they've got the depressed sign. They may not have just full out, but they're still carrying the sign around even after taking the pills. But that's not the kind of joy He has for you. He has joy that is full, that's overflowing, that knocks the devil in his place, that says Satan's going to be crushed under your feet. And that's His will for you. Because sometimes we're like, oh, don't tell me what to do. But if we'll do what He says, He's not trying to control you. He's saying, no, I'm telling you these things because I want your joy to be full. I'm telling you these things because I want you to have life. I want you to have abundant life. And we're going, but don't tell me what to do. But when you do what you want to do, let me ask you, how's your joy? When you do what you want to do, how's that going for you? When you say what you want to say, how'd that work out? When we let our mind think what we want to think, how are those thoughts? How's that thought life going? Because if we really want to live for Him, this is the equation. We have to abide in Him. Let's go to verse 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So what is that? What can that look like other than just, you know, obviously He went to the cross for us. You can ask yourself this, am I denying my flesh? Am I denying my desires for someone else? We're not used to hearing that because of a self-made society that says you build up you do you, I'll do me, 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 me. I'm going to take some me time, right? But Jesus is saying, no, a true friend will lay down their life for their friends. Are you serving your flesh? Are you serving Him in your mind, your heart, your emotions? Are you preferring? Because Jesus said, that's what real friends do. In Philippians, Paul said this, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's go to verse 14. I'm getting near to the end here. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Uh-oh, here we go again. All right. Command means to give charge or give commandment. So He's saying, you're my friend if you do what I tell you to do, is pretty much what He is saying. And that is a message that is lost in the church, because pastors want to grow their church more than they want to grow the kingdom. And I want to grow disciples in this house. And a disciple is just someone who follows Christ. And if we're going to follow Christ, He says, if you're my friend, you do what I say. You know, you have people all the time that say, oh, I love God. He knows my heart. I'm like, yeah, He does. He knows it. But I think I need to walk away now because that heart's a little dark. Okay, moving right along. So you are His friend if you do whatever He commands you to do. So what does it look like to be His friend? It looks like staying, remaining, abiding, not just close, but in Him. It looks like reading His word so it cleanses you, and obeying His command and His spoken word of God. It looks like preferring His way and not yours. It looks like fruit. So I could say it like this. Don't tell Spencer I said this. If you're not fruity, you're not really His friend. It also means that you're being pruned. Friendship with God is staying in God. Obeying His word, if you say you're His friend, these things will be true of you. So now ask yourself, how do I abide? How do I stay? How do I remain? Be unmovable in your thoughts, in your heart, in your emotions, in your words, because There's a scripture in Psalms that says he speaks the truth in his heart. We can pretend like we speak it here, but really, tell me what's going on inside. Are you speaking the truth inside? For a lot of women, it looks like, I hate myself. I don't like myself. I'm ugly. I can't do anything. I'm so stupid. Why'd I do that? Men, I'm sure it's a different inward battle for you. But if that's things that are being said inside of you, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not of God. Therefore, you have the right to kick it out. I love kicking things out. I love throwing things away. I'm the chief thrower awayer. When it comes to cleaning out the house, I'm like, trash, trash. I literally just did this like yesterday. No, okay, 2 days ago. I'm cleaning out stuff. I'm like, trash. I've got this pile I'm just making. And Spencer comes out. He's like, oh, no, we might need this one day. I'm like, oh, man. But that's why we're married, because opposites attract. And I'd have everything in the house thrown away, including the children's toys. You're not cleaning that up, trash can. He's like, oh, no, 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 no. We can't throw everything away. We might need it one day. I'm like, oh, my goodness, you sound like my grandmother. Okay, but, hey, there's good, because he's right. All of a sudden, I'm like, yes, that piece of wood from 1993 that you put in the corner, we need it. Go get it. I'm just kidding. Actually, I'm not, but it's funny. Okay, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's partly how you remain. Because to remain is to remain in the Word. Because it's Jesus. That's abiding in the vine, is abiding in the Word. So let me ask you this question, because this is scripture. It says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly means abundantly, full of, and overflowing. So now look at your own heart and your mind. Does the Word of God have a shack? Does it have a family-sized home? Does it have a mansion? You may say, what are you talking about? Well, if it's dwelling in you richly, then you got a mansion in your heart of the Word of God. So what kind of dwelling place does the Word of God have? Is it abounding? Is it are you so full of it in a good way? Right? Because full of it can be a bad thing. Like, man, you're full of it. You got a bunch of hot air. You are clouds without water. Okay, I digress. What kind of dwelling place does the Word of God have in you? Because if you are not abiding, if you are struggling, if you are not bearing much fruit, then you can look at this right here. How is the Word of God inside of you? Not right now, but on your day-to-day life, when you get in a bind, when you get in a trouble, when you get in a situation, when you get in an argument with your spouse, is the Word still abiding richly? Because sometimes you're like, yeah, the Word's abiding richly, and I'm going to rebuke you sharply. It's like, okay, that wasn't Christ-like. I apologize. Okay, so the Word of God will take up residence wherever you welcome it, wherever you desire it. So let's go on down, and I'm going to begin to close. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I call you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Go to 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it. Okay, so this is exciting. You're appointed. You are. He's not talking to me, just me. He's talking to everybody. You're appointed. You're chosen. Yes, right? That's exciting. And he says, okay, so now my will is that you would go bear much fruit. We can't just stop at what makes us feel good. Like, yes, I'm appointed generation. I'm chosen in Christ. Okay, now go bear fruit. And much fruit, not bear much church. What? Does that say that? Not bear down till Jesus returns. Not bear with my husband. I'm just kidding. Bear much fruit. To bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Okay, so what does that look like? Because how does fruit remain without becoming rotten? right? Just think of it naturally. How does fruit remain without being rotten? Well, think about an apple tree, if you will. Let's say you take that apple and you eat it, but you save the seeds. And you take the seed and you plant it in good, fertile ground, and the rain waters it, and the sun shines on it, and eventually it grows up and it becomes an apple tree. That's fruit that remains. Why? Because the seed is still there. It's just become another tree. And so how would that look like naturally? Because he doesn't tell us this about an apple tree. He says, I want you to have fruit that remains. So what that looks like to me is you take something that is planted in you. Let's say it's faithfulness. And you take that fruit and then you give it to someone else. And then they take that faithfulness and they give it to their husband and they give it to their children. Or then now they take it and they give it to their employees or the people that they're working with or to their grandchildren and they pass it on. And then this person starts a discipleship on faithfulness and this person starts a Bible study and this person helps that person that couldn't make it across the road or couldn't get their trash can, whatever it may be. Do you see the remaining? The way it remains is because it's invested into someone else. Fruit is not just for you to walk around and look pretty with. And a lot of times that's what we want to do with our fruit is we want to be like, look at me, I'm a Christian tree. I look so good. Look at all my works. And God's saying they're missing the point. The point is that you would bear fruit and that then you would pass it on to someone else and pass it on to someone else. But we have this mentality of let's just go to church and let's sit in there and let's look good and let's wait till Jesus comes back and then let's come to church again. But that's not what he's saying. He says, it's not just my will that you would have fruit because if you just have fruit, it's going to get rotten. But my will for you is that you would have fruit that remains, that when you get that fruit of the Spirit, because you can't bear it, only he can. It comes from the Holy Spirit, because that's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit, is he's the one that bears it as you're connected to the vine, and then you drop it, you give it to someone else, they give it to someone else, they give it to someone else. And what I would say is what I want for this house is that we would be like Johnny Appleseeds. I read a little bit about him last night. And he went and he planted apple nurseries all over. He would just go and plant these apple nurseries. And that's what God's will is for us as a church, is that we don't just look good and we don't just look like Christians, but we are passing on. We're investing in other people. We're discipling because he told us to, not just the pastors. He said, you go and you make disciples of all nations. And then he says, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. And so I'm encouraging us to be people who don't just bear it for ourselves. Because if you do, you're going to become rotten. And listen, I've been in the church a long time, and I've seen people who have been in the church a long time that are rotten, and they've just kept their fruit, and they're all pruny looking, and they can't even smile, but they want to teach a Bible study, and you're like, not today. Not today. So let's not be that type of person that we just sit in the church and we're like, sometimes you look around and you're like, why isn't so-and-so growing? And it's because so-and-so won't give. And I don't mean just money. Do I mean money? Sure, because as you sow, you'll reap. But I'm talking about everything else. They won't give a compliment. They won't give an encouragement. They won't lend a hand. They don't want to serve. Because if you don't, listen to me, you will shrivel up and you'll become rotten. And eventually, rotten fruit becomes no more. And the interesting thing, this quote, and I don't know if I can remember it exactly how it says, but you can't tell how many trees are in a seed. Think about an apple seed. You don't know how many are in it. You can count apples, but you don't know how many trees are going to come from that one seed. And it's dependent on the sowers. So let's be people that we don't just sit and have it, but we give it. I'm going to close with this portion, verse 16. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So now you may be wondering things like, well, I've asked God, why hasn't he given it? Why hasn't he answered? And to that I would say there's too many answers for me to answer yours, because only God is sovereign. But I can give you one, because it says this: if you bear fruit, if you remain, then you can ask whatever you want, and I'll do it. But the problem, and a lot of people don't understand, I've been going to church, I've been tithing, but are you bearing fruit? And are you remaining in him? Because if you're not, why are you expecting answers? It's like, does God do it sometimes? Absolutely, he does. I've seen him do it. But sometimes we're asking for all these things, but we're not even remaining. We're like, Lord, please give me this. And then we go out and we're smart aleck and we're negative and we're talking about people behind their back and we're sowing discord and we're gossiping and we can't figure out what in the world's going on, why God ain't answering my prayers. Because he said, if you remain and you bear much fruit, then you can act. Why? Why does it have to be that way? Kind of makes sense if you think about it. Because when you abide in him, what you ask is going to line up with him. It's going to line up with the word. But if you're not, you're going to ask in selfishness. You're going to ask in greed. You're going to ask in lust. But when we abide, he says, we've got a promise. Listen, if up until this point, you're like, I don't care about abiding. I don't want to abide. I don't want to listen to the commands. I don't want to remain. This right here should motivate you. Because if I abide, then he says he'll answer my prayers. But then he says this: you can ask the Father in my name, and I'll give it to you. But name just doesn't mean saying the name of Jesus. Name means this: authority and character. So he says, remain, abide, bear much fruit, and ask in my character. My character, and then I'll do it. Not in your character, not in what you think, but in my character. These things I command you, that you love one another. So, I'm going to close with this. He says, these things I command you. We've got a lot of commanding going on. And I would encourage you that if that confuses you, to really push into knowing him for who he is. Because when I know him for who he is and he commands me, I don't have a problem following his instruction. It's just like Spencer, y'all may think this is funny, he doesn't really command me because he's the Lord, little L of our house. But if he says something, I don't have a problem doing it. You know why? Because I know the love that he has for me. And so if he says, hey, that person, they're saying that, and you're seeing it that way, but really they got something going on. You know what? I go, you're right. I didn't see that. Why? Because I know who he is. And so I can trust his love. I can trust his correction. I can trust his encouragement. And it's the same way with the Lord. He's commanding us to abide. He's commanding us to remain. He's commanding us to follow his commands. But it's not out of an intent to control. It's out of an intent so that you can be blessed, so that your joy can be full, so that he can answer your prayer, so that you don't have to go to a hell that was intended for the devil and his angels. Because the Bible says that, not the Bible, I think it was C.S. Lewis. He said, no man goes to hell unwillingly or deservingly, meaning he chose it because it was not created for man. It was created for the devil. And so I want to encourage you this morning to abide in him, and his words abide in you, and be open to pruning. If you would, stand to your feet and bow your heads. Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you for the word of truth. Thank you that your word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish all that you please and all that you send it to. And I'm just going to have a very simple altar call this morning. If you say, I would like to abide more, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. we're just making a fresh commitment before the Lord. I want to abide in Him. I want to remain and also have a different one. If you see God through a skewed perspective when it says command and it makes you uncomfortable, I'm going to ask you to come. Just find a place in the altar. I'm going to pray over everyone specifically. And maybe you're saying, I've been stale, but I'm open to growth. I want to grow again. I've been in this same place for a while now, and I want to grow again. If that's you, come to the altar. Or if you're saying, I want to know Jesus, and I haven't accepted Him as my Lord and Savior, I want you to just raise your hand because I want to pray with you more specifically. Thank you for everyone that has came. Lord, may we not be the church of Laodicea that is lukewarm. But I pray a fervency over this house to grow. Grow again, grow again, grow again. We place ourselves on the holy altar this morning. We stand before You, not before man. This isn't about anyone seeing us right now. And I put myself there as well. And actually, I'm just going to bow before You. We place ourselves on the altar of God. And we say, grow us again. Help us to remain in You. Not just momentarily, but all day long. God, I pray that we would abide. Teach us to abide. Because I know the heart of Your people, that we want to abide, but help us, Lord. Help us to not come in and out of Christ. Help us to not come in and out of the Spirit. Lord, help us. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. When we begin to go off course, I pray that we would go back in immediately. Give us a quickening in our spirit. God, I pray over us that we would be more fruitful because You said it glorifies the Father that we bear more fruit and much fruit. So I pray this morning over every person that has come that we would bear much fruit because we want to remain. We don't want to be of the virgins that You said You can't come in. But we want to be the virgins that are still burning with fire and with the oil of the Holy Spirit. I pray this morning over anyone that needs to be pruned. God, prune us. Prune us because we're bearing fruit so that we can bear more fruit. And Lord, I pray for those that came up that said, I've got a skewed perspective of what God tells me to do. I pray that there would be a restoration in their heart and their mind about who You are as a Father. That You give good gifts to Your children. You are the best Father ever. No one's greater. No one can do what You do. No one can love like You love. And I thank You that the one that's sitting on the throne giving the commands is the God of love and the God of truth and the God of purity. And there is nothing perverse in You, but You are total purity. You are total authority. You are the provider. You are just. You are holy. And I pray this morning for a restoration to take place. And I declare right now over this house that this is a house that abides. That this is a house that remains. That this is a house that will stay in Jesus and will stay in the Word. I declare over this house, not just will you bear fruit, but you will bear much fruit and you will have a plentiful harvest. I prophesy over this house that you are a house of the Word of God. And what the Word says will come to pass and will go forth without any hindrance. I declare that this is a house of purity and of cleansing because in that the Word of God abides. And so I declare over this house right now that you are a place that is consecrated to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And I cover this place with the blood. And now I pray right now a sealing of the Holy Spirit over every person that came. And I pray that even this week they would see the results of their boldness. God, I pray not just for spiritual, but I pray that there would even be something, a natural thing given to each person in this altar, something that testifies of what they did, what took place this morning. I pray for a sealing of the Holy Spirit. Release them, release them, release them to bear much fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, raise your hands and receive this blessing. Thank you for being here this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord our God lift up His countenance upon you. May He write His name on you and may He smile over you. And I pray right now, shalom, shalom, that drives out all darkness and all chaos. And whatever has been fighting you this week, I pray that the God of peace would soon crush Satan under your feet. And I pray that the Lord our God would lift up His countenance upon you and smile upon you and say that you are His. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.